awesome morning party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it. 3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Team Awesome Morning Party. Happy Monday.
Like a thief in the morning, we have come to take yours away.
Wait, what?
Yeah. It's pretty... It's creepy. You guys, my friend here, he's got a sick baby.
Gosh.
He was up all night the past two nights.
It's been fun.
There's only one thing in this world that can make him better.
Hmm.
It's a phone call from Matthew from Albuquerque.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that it works
out. Pretty great. It is Monday, a new week, a new month.
Yeah.
It's March.
Guys, it is March.
3-3 today.
Oh my goodness, we are getting into this year. We are just digging in.
Yeah. We are marching forward.
We are just digging in and it is spectacular.
Yes. Man, you're a really good actor. Why weren't you at the Oscars last night?
I was. My name is Jim Carrey. Speaking of that.
Man, he was so great.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That last night was an enjoyable program.
It was. It really was.
I am 74 years old. So. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. So, and it seemed, I don't know. I wonder if because McFarlane did it, they were trying to like keep it clean.
Yeah.
Go a little more family friendly. Really felt like they were.
Ellen killed it.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, she killed it.
Yeah.
It was great.
So
she is hilarious.
Oscars last night, if you missed it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Seth MacFarlane was the one that hosted it.
Yeah.
Did he do it the past two times or just once?
I think just once. No, just once.
Just once.
Just once.
Did Ricky Gervais ever do it?
I thought, I don't think so. I think just Golden Globes. Yeah, I think he was actually asked to do it again.
Oh.
After the first one, and it was like, no.
Was it pretty rough?
It was.
We didn't watch them.
Our kids did not watch them either.
Oh.
Yeah. So this one was much better. It was funny how all last night we were basically equating everything to Disney and to superheroes. So I was like, okay, do you hear her voice? That's Dory.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have never
to present
known.
The award for, okay, that person, do you recognize that person? That's Catwoman.
Yep.
And then this person, it was like everybody we could equate to
funny.
A superhero movie.
Yeah, every single
it was amazing.
Person. It's like, oh, well, she's married to so-and-so who was in Wolverine Origins.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at home.
He's at home with the kids. Liev Schreiber, he couldn't go. Naomi Watts is there without him.
She's standing there with Nick Fury.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And lame of us, but cool.
Oh, it was so cool.
Yeah.
Because they super enjoyed it, you know,
yeah.
Before before the kids go to bed, we usually ask their favorite part of the day, and Jax was getting to watch the Oscars.
Oh,
it was like, all right. It was fun. It was fun. A lot of movies I've never seen won a lot of awards.
Yeah, Dawn saw Captain Phillips and 12 Years a Slave, and she said that they were awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's right that 12 Years a Slave won. I had a few friends. I didn't get to see it, but I had a few friends that saw it, and they were just like, man, that movie. It's so intense.
That's what I've heard. It's like a Schindler's List where it's like, yes, you need to see that once.
Yes, one time.
Yeah.
Tim from House of Heroes, I think he's the one that told me he was just like, man, it does not let up. There's like, there are no comedic moments in the movie. It is just like,
okay.
The life of a slave.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really important that the guy that directed it said that he dedicated the movie to the 21 million people that are still in slavery today. You know, coinciding with our conversation on Friday.
Yeah,
End It movement.
It was good to see this year the appreciation and the girl who won for Best Supporting Actress, the way that she talked about the girl's story that she was portraying and how through this one girl's suffering, this other, you know, her dreams have come true. And last night it just had this different feel to it. It was good.
And then she said that to everyone around the world, no matter where they were from, that this was for them and to let them know that their dreams are valid.
Yeah.
That was awesome. It was like, and then Matthew McConaughey got up there and blew everybody away with his speech.
Man. That dude. Yeah, Matthew McConaughey took home Best Actor. Best Actress went to Cate Blanchett, which was pretty cool.
Yes, I think a lot of people were expecting
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock or Amy Adams. American Hustle
or
didn't
Meryl
win.
Or Meryl Streep.
Or Meryl Streep. American Hustle didn't win anything.
Yeah.
Shocking the world.
I didn't see it.
The film world. I didn't either, but I wanted to. Leonardo DiCaprio, sadly, he still did not win an Oscar.
But Matthew McConaughey hugged him.
Yes, he did. Respectfully. Leonardo DiCaprio also did not want any of the pizza that Ellen ordered for the crowd.
Really?
Three pizzas for the whole
Imagine being the pizza
audience.
Guy.
Yeah, I bet it was cool. I wonder if it was staged, but I bet either way it was cool.
Yeah, either way.
It was a fun program. We had a good time watching it.
Yeah, can't complain. It was a nice laid-back Sunday. Also had a chance to watch New Mexico Lobos.
Oh!
Last time they took on Nevada, we took your wife to the pit. That's the team that she saw play.
You dragged her down into the pit.
Yes, the pits of despair.
But she escaped.
After the first half, I was in the pits of despair because I thought, we may lose this game.
But
in typical New Mexico fashion, we decided to go for it in the second half and, actually play some ball.
Yep, and all the way from Nashville, I could hear Don yelling, Hugh!
Yes, dude, that guy is so clutch. That's what they were saying yesterday. 72-58, the Lobos on the road took care of Nevada. It's a good day yesterday.
He's also Heath.
Yeah.
Which is Don's word for attractive and wonderful. In memory
great.
Of the late Heath Ledger.
Yeah, yeah. It was great. Harvick won in Phoenix. Dale Earnhardt Jr. took second, and you have discovered the purpose of NASCAR yesterday.
I did. We'll talk about that more when we come back.
Yep. On the way, birthdays at 6:45. We also got breaking news right around the corner. Right now, it's Mute Math.
Oh, yeah.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
Newsflash. We interrupt for this breaking news.
Breaking news for you today.
Exactly. For you, Steve-O.
For me?
No call from Matthew from Albuquerque.
I know.
You okay?
Yeah, I'll be all right.
He's probably filing something. Last night, the Oscars happened.
They did.
Tons of people watched them. Got a quick little best and worst last night, a couple moments. Best was Lupita Nyong'o's, I can't remember how to pronounce her last name, her speech.
Like, yes, best moment supporting actress.
Yeah, she won for her role in 12 Years a Slave. Jared Leto gave his mom props during his speech. Ellen's opening monologue was hilarious.
Dude, here's the thing. In the opening monologue, she referenced 12 Years a Slave winning for Best Picture.
Mm.
And 12 Years a Slave won. Possibility number one.
Conspiracy.
12 Years a Slave wins Best Picture. Possibility number two. You're all racist.
If it doesn't.
And then it did win for Best Picture.
And then it won because they probably went, scratch American Hustle. Scratch it. Get Gravity. Gravity swept the night. He won Best Director. Mm-hmm. And then so many other, like, effects and cinematography. And
they did leave some crumbs. Didn't complete sweep.
No, they didn't.
They left a little pieces on the tile, like Sandra Bullock just standing there in Best Picture overall.
I was expecting Sandra Bullock to win.
I was too.
Best Actress.
But Kate Blanchett's speech was pretty great.
It was great.
I didn't see. It's funny. This year I was like, I haven't seen this one. Didn't see you.
Yeah.
Didn't see this.
Last night during the Oscars, Ellen took a selfie of her and.
Man,
Bradley Cooper.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Brad Pitt, gosh, Julia Roberts, Jennifer Lawrence, Jared Leto,
Meryl Streep,
yeah. What's her name from? She won Best Actress.
Who?
Her best support, Lupita, all of them, and it broke like Twitter records. It was the most retweeted thing ever.
Yeah, over 2 million,
which is cool. And then there were some weird moments. Harrison Ford was being super cranky. He really wanted that pizza, and he had an earring on, kind of creepy.
He always has an earring.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
This thing's saying, this list, and this is coming from Yahoo, it's saying that some of the montages during the Oscars were unnecessary. Like, they had Jim Carrey introduce the best animated, and it had an animated montage, and then later Chris Evans came out and introduced, like, a, like, action hero montage, which to me was awesome, because the speech from Independence Day was on there, and then part of the thing from Man of Steel was in there, and it was all my favorite movies, and I was like, this is why I love movies. But now this list is calling it unnecessary, and I guess the program did run over a little bit.
Slightly.
And then, I guess, I didn't know this, but there were some people missing from the memoriam. A few more people passed away, and they didn't include them. And, oh, that's a moment that you missed. Steve-O had to go upstairs to take care of Brody.
Yeah.
And a lady named Darlene Love, who was in a movie called 20 Feet from Stardom that won Best Documentary, she gets out there and busts into Your Eyes on the Sparrow. And she sang. She went for it. She sang full out. And I was telling Steve a while ago, Bill Murray, like, stood up, she got a standing ovation. It was pretty cool.
That is cool.
And it was there were a lot of moments last night that were, you could tell people were genuinely thankful.
Yeah.
And they didn't waste their speech. You know, they didn't get up there and it wasn't like the Grammys or the MTV Awards where people get up there and just whatever. You know, what are they even talking about? These people, you could tell they were, I mean, and like when Jared Leto thanked his mom, he kind of told her story, an abbreviated version. That was really cool. Cool moments on the Oscars. And we did not watch Walking Dead.
No, we didn't. We watched the Oscars instead.
We did. Let's move on to other things that have been going on. President Obama has been talking with Vladimir Putin. Apparently Russia is, like, getting troops ready to invade Ukraine.
Oh.
Which is a big deal.
Putin on the blitz.
Putin on the blitz. So, that's a crazy situation. A Pennsylvania grandmother is now on the Philadelphia SWAT team.
What?
Yeah. Don't mess with her. An angry man is suing McDonald's for $1.5 million because he was only given one napkin. I thought McDonald's had napkin dispensers. You get your own napkin.
Wow.
He's suing him. We might have to find more information.
Gosh.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Oh, the Wall Street Journal reports on a disturbing trend regarding middle-aged job seekers. Companies are now asking to look at your old SAT scores. So good luck out there, friends. I didn't even take the SAT. I took the ACT.
Yeah.
Oh.
Great.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. This is exciting for me. I'm a fan of fine cheeses.
You are.
Love cheese.
You really are.
Cheese is my best friend.
You bought like a 9-year cheese last week.
I bought and I was
like,
a 9-year cheese. What? It was great.
No, dude. 9 years.
It's aged 9 years.
Okay.
It's cheese, man. What's wrong with you? You should just accept this immediately when I say cheese. Oh, good grief. Anyway, scientists have announced the discovery of an ancient cheese on Chinese mummies.
Oh, gross,
dating back
to
1615 BC.
Ugh.
The mummies found in a cemetery in northwestern China were buried in large wooden boats atop a sand dune and tightly wrapped with cowhide to create a vacuum-like effect. So if you need a vacuum, wrap yourself in cowhide. 400-year-old
cheese, bro.
Yeah.
Ugh.
This method of preservation, along with the dry desert air and salty soil, mostly prevented the corpse's decay. Archaeologists aren't exactly sure why the corpses were buried with lumps of cheese on their bodies, but they think the intention might have been to provide the deceased with food for the afterlife.
Okay.
See? What you gonna eat in heaven? Cheese.
Ugh.
Based on chemical analysis, the cheese appears to be lactose-free and was probably quick and convenient to make.
Huh.
Awesome. Lactose-free. You would love it.
I could eat that cheese.
You should
eat that cheese.
I would
never eat
that
cheese. I'm getting sick thinking
about 400-year-old
cheese. If
Static Radio can raise $1 billion,
right.
Steve-O will eat the cheese. He will eat it, and he will die.
Oh, man.
And we will preserve his body in the same manner that these things were preserved, and we'll put the cheese on top of you full circle.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Circle of life. India is planning a mission to probe the sun before 2020. The nation launched a moon mission a few years ago and sent a Mars mission late last year.
India?
That is going to be very difficult.
Wow.
How will you probe the sun when whatever we shoot at that thing will burn up before we even get there?
I don't I didn't know India had a space program.
You don't
at all.
Mess with the sun. The sun is sitting out there, and if you throw something at the sun, it's going to throw a solar flare at you.
Yeah.
And then that's going to affect everything.
True.
It's going to go, wow, sunburn. At the least, you'll get third-degree burns.
Yeah.
At the least, don't mess with the sunshine.
Did you ever see that movie, Sunshine?
No.
Oh, it's crazy.
Wait, Little Miss Sunshine?
No, Sunshine.
What's it about?
It's the dude that did Slumdog Millionaire, oddly enough.
Yeah?
Did Sunshine.
Wow.
How can I think of his name right now?
I don't know. 28
Days Later, directed it, Peter Boyle.
Cool.
Is that his name?
Maybe.
Steve-O? That's pretty crazy.
Are you lying to me right now?
No.
You know why?
Why?
Because never trust anyone after lunch. People are more more honest in the morning.
Well, then why would I be lying to you right now?
I was testing you.
Oh, okay.
A new study from Harvard and the University of Utah reveals people tend to be a lot more honest in the morning. In a series of experiments, people were asked to solve math problems, some of which were impossible, either in the morning or afternoon, and were told that they'd be paid 5 cents per correct answer.
Wow.
They were then asked to self-report their scores. The result, afternoon people were 20 to 50% more likely to cheat. Our self-restraint is stronger in the morning because our energy stores are higher. As our batteries drain, and this study suggests that even everyday activities drain them, we become less ethical. Huh. Another factor is sleep, which is needed to recharge our moral batteries.
Oh, and I got none of that, so
yeah.
Maybe...
Oh, no.
My moral battery,
you are lying!
Just,
you have been lying to me all morning.
I gotta be honest. I was lying.
Oh! Wait, I don't know.
I
don't know when to trust you right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Wait, was that being honest now?
See, that's what I'm saying. Inception. Inception. Speaking of sleep, as if this winter hasn't been draining enough, daylight sure. savings time begins this weekend, parentheses, March 9th, guys. March
yeah.
9th. Meaning you will lose an hour of sleep.
Ugh.
Wow.
It's the worst.
Hey, do you ever watch golf?
Golf?
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah, me either.
Right.
That's how I feel.
Our sleepy time things on Sundays are baseball and NASCAR.
That's why. Yep, that's the purpose of NASCAR.
Yeah, you discovered that yesterday.
I did. Yesterday I discovered that if you watch NASCAR, you're going to take a nap.
It's pretty great, though.
It's awesome.
Because you watch the beginning, the first like 20, 30 laps, and you're like, this is great. Then you fall asleep, and then... And you wake up, and you're like, there's only like 30 laps to go. This worked out perfectly
wow,
for me.
Wow, these people are still driving.
And you just got to catch up on who wrecked and what happened throughout the cautions. And
good grief. I didn't know there was so much stuff involved with NASCAR.
Yeah.
And I kind of still don't because I figured out, as Steve-O said, that around at lap 8, you just start falling asleep.
Yeah.
And
well,
then you wake
I woke up
later.
To you asking questions.
Yeah. I was like, why has that car got those things on the top of it? When
why
they
are
start,
they doing the spinny thingy?
Yeah.
Well,
woom, 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 woom.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me. But I understand now that there's even strategy involved in driving your car around in a circle.
Yep.
And that makes me upset because that means there's strategy in everything, and I don't want to think about it.
Yep.
But interesting. Interesting stuff about the NASCAR. Anyway, golf. Some find it exciting, others boring, but everyone can agree that a 75-foot putt to win a tournament is pretty awesome.
Wow, yeah.
LPGA golfer Paula Creamer sank that 75-footer for an eagle on the second playoff hole against Azahara Munoz,
wow.
I guess, to win the HSBC Women's Champions Sunday. Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That's crazy, a 75-foot yeah. putt. You don't
that's
mess
huge.
With that lady.
No.
That's nuts. Oh, man, they found a time capsule. It's 100 years old, and they found 100-year-old negatives and camera.
What about cheese? Any cheese?
No, the cheese is on the mummies.
Ugh.
For them to eat.
Right.
Nobody's going to eat the time capsule stuff. Everybody knows this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I knew it.
I don't know.
Nearly a year after digging up and opening an Oklahoma City time capsule, researchers are getting a glimpse at what their town was like in the early 20th century. Found inside the time capsule was a Kodak Vest pocket camera and 8 negatives found in pristine condition. Buried on April 18th, 1913,
wow.
The chest was carefully packed with a bunch of items you would expect to find in early 20th century Oklahoma City, from newspapers to children's toys. Probably the most exciting included item that was found was the extremely popular $6, and this would be around $140 in today's money, Vest pocket camera that Kodak released to the public just a year before the capsule was sealed and buried.
Wow.
Found in mint condition and used only once for the taking of the photographs inside. The Vest pocket camera was wrapped inside a Westfall drugstore bag. I guess it had been purchased there hours before being buried. and contained 8 already developed photographs of downtown Oklahoma City from that day.
That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty cool.
I wonder how much that's going to go for.
Ooh, I don't know. And I'm excited about it.
Think about that. You spend $140 basically in today's economy on something, use it once for an hour, and then bury it for 100 years.
Whoa. What would you do?
Well, you'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, you would be dead.
The next generation.
I'm not going to die.
Oh, right.
Remember this, people.
I keep forgetting.
Remember. Now, how could you forget that? It's a solemn, like a, that's a promise. It's a vow. It's good to make vows. No, it's not.
Man.
Cookie Monster has stolen cash from the Girl Scouts.
Okay.
Let's talk about this. A group Girl Scouts were just doing their thing, selling some cookies.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Outside a Southern California grocery store, not a marijuana dispensary.
Ah, okay.
And then a man stole around $40 in cash from the group's donation jar. What kind of jerk does that to little Girl Scouts?
Obviously the Cookie Monster.
The suspect, 21-year-old David Betancourt, allegedly swiped the jar and ran away laughing. Good. It contained money meant to buy cookies to send to military personnel overseas as part of a project called Operation Thin Mint.
What a jerk.
Local media called the thief the Cookie Monster. Betancourt was tracked to his home and hauled off to jail.
Okay, good.
And rightfully so.
Justice for
he
all.
He stole cookies from Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
That's and laughed about it.
It's like stealing candy from a baby.
Like stealing a cookie from a Girl Scout. Operation Thin Mint. That's funny. At Oregon Pacific University, an 18-year-old freshman had to be rescued by the fire department after she became stuck 20 feet high in a redwood tree. That's good news.
How did... Okay.
This it's she's at college, man. This is when you figure out who you are. And one of the best ways to figure out who you are is to climb a tree as tall as you can possibly go.
Wow.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, but I've never gotten stuck. You usually just make sure you can find
you didn't
your
go
way
high
back
enough.
Down.
Nope. You didn't go high enough. You got to keep going. You got to get up to where the branches are so skinny. And then when the wind blows, you're moving and you're like, oh, man, life decisions.
Why can't you just shimmy back down?
Some people aren't good at shimmying,
oh, okay.
Steve-O.
I'm sorry.
Do the shimmy shimmy. man. When Dana Snay learned her father had been awarded an $80,000 cash settlement and an age discrimination lawsuit against his former employer, she couldn't resist bragging about it on Facebook. The Facebook girl, or the Florida girl, Florida, posted on Facebook, Mama and Papa Snay won the case against Gulliver. I guess that was the prep school. Gulliver is now officially paying for my vacation to Europe this summer. Suck it.
Wow.
And that was quoted from that girl. Just one problem. Her father had signed a confidentiality agreement, so the school refused to pay a dime, and a Florida appeals court has found in the school's favor. The judge wrote, Snay violated the agreement by doing exactly what he had promised not to do, which was tell anyone the settlement amount. His daughter then did precisely what the confidentiality agreement was designed to prevent.
Wow.
So there you go, kids. If your parents win in a lawsuit, don't go bragging about it.
Wow.
Don't go bragging about anything. Keep it to yourself and be kind.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is your breaking news.
There you go.
Because it is time for a birthday.
Oh, yeah. Good morning.
I can shimmy.
No, you can't, Stever.
That's good.
No, I was a tree climber, man.
You were a tree climber?
Yeah,
he was
like
an Olympic swimmer, too.
Wait.
Junior Olympic.
Junior Olympic swimmer. Yeah.
You can Olympic swim and you can shimmy up a tree?
Yeah, well, not now. I probably could. I'd get hurt, though.
Mm-mm. So you're telling me when that bear went up in that tree last fall... Right outside, you knew exactly how he got up.
No, you run downhill. I would have run down into that bowl in the skate park.
Yep.
Oh.
It's wisdom right there.
Wisdom!
Yeah, because that's what I want. I want that bear and me in a bowl.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Morning.
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 And the hashtag, or the statement, suck it, should have been preceded by hashtag, according to Cate Blanchett.
There you go.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Funny moment.
Was that for Meryl Streep? Who was that for?
That was for Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts, right. Okay.
So great.
All right. So we watched that. Did you guys see Bette Midler?
Yeah, yes. That was random.
Yeah. Well, it was for the memorial.
Yeah.
And actually, Glenn Close did say, and she made it clear there were some people not in it.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Anyway, it's 62nd day of 2014. 303 days remaining. Today, celebrating a birthday, radio and TV personality. Have no idea who this guy is. Ira Glass from This American Life.
Cool. Nope. Oh, wait. This American Life.
Yeah.
That's a podcast. Okay. I've listened to them.
It's that dude with glasses.
Yeah, they're super interesting. They take stories of just random people here in America.
Do they sound old or young?
They kind of retell them. Oh, man. Well, there's two people that do it. There's two guys. Which one is Ira? I think he's the older one.
That's what he's, okay. I don't know.
If I'm right, he's the older, nerdy sounding one.
All
right. So I'm going to go with 48.
That's old.
Well, the other guy's young.
Okay. So 54.
55.
Ah! You were right there.
Yeah. So close. So close. All right. So this goes back to, did you guys ever watch Seventh Heaven?
Yes.
No.
Seventh Heaven.
From Seventh Heaven, and of course, apparently she likes doing remake movies, Total Recall, The A-Team, and she's married Justin Timberlake.
She was at the Oscars last night.
And she was hanging out with, who's she on stage with? The guy
Jamie
who played
Fox.
Right. Yeah, Jamie, yeah, who made her crack
Electro.
Up.
Electro.
I guess Matt watched it.
Yeah, we were able to do that.
My daughter, Katie Lynn, liked this show.
Gosh. You right. All right, she is 34.
I was thinking the dad on this was the secret FBI guy in Jumpin' Jack Flash with Whoopi Goldberg. How old is Jessica Biel?
Jessica Biel.
I say 34.
Mm-mm. I say 32.
She's 32.
Yeah! Victory! Victory is in my blood.
She has dark hair now.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's kinda.
She's married to JT. She ain't sweating nothing.
All right, here we go.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Let's see. This actress was in The Crying Game and Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
In The Crying Game. That weird one from the 90s?
Miranda Richardson.
Miranda Richardson, come on down!
I have no idea.
No clue.
Which one is she?
No clue.
She was in The Goblet of Fire, so she was only in one movie?
She was not one of the students.
No clue.
No clue.
46.
47?
56.
Ah. I wonder who she played.
Haven't seen this show yet either.
Modern Family?
Yeah, from Modern Family.
Hey. Ed O'Neill.
She plays Claire Dunphy.
Elizabeth Banks.
Her name's Julie Bowen.
No, Julie Bowen. That's what I meant. Elizabeth Banks is.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's from something else.
Yeah, my bad.
Bah!
Julie Bowen.
Know, do you guys know who that is?
Yeah, she was on that commercial last night. That was the commercial for the face stuff.
All right.
Julie Bowen.
She had zits.
No. She was also in, what was Julie Bowen in?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't she in the Sandler movie?
How old is she?
Oh, yeah. Was she in, I don't know, 38?
42.
44.
Ah!
I guess you guys kind of do know who that is.
Yeah, it's Julie Bowen. Close.
I have no idea.
I don't know. Find out which.
Ba-da-ba-da. Sport!
Did they use this for the Summer Olympics, too?
I don't know.
Former Olympic track and field gold medalist Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Hey, I recognize that name.
She's a fast lady.
It was Happy Gilmore. I knew it. She was in Happy Gilmore.
She the teacher?
No, that was Billy Madison. Happy Gilmore was the golf one. She was the
girlfriend. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. She was part of the PGA.
Yeah.
They're supposed to keep him in line.
50.
Mm-mm. I'm 50.
39.
52.
Jackie Joyner Kersee. She was the one with the freaky nails.
I don't know.
I just remember being a kid and being freaked out. Ditches are deadly. Stay away.
Stay away.
All right, guys. TV chef Tyler Florence.
Is that a dude?
I don't know. That's an old Crow Medicine show. It's called Mary's Kitchen. You like that?
Gotta
like Old Crow.
46.
43?
She's 43.
Yeah! Oh, when the silence happens, I know. I've done well. Silence is golden. Golden. Gold.
Yeah, good job.
All right,
good
here
job.
You go.
Good job. Dun, 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 dun.
Heisman Trophy winner.
O.J. Simpson.
Former NFL star.
Bo Jackson.
No. Former Philadelphia Eagle.
Wait, there was an Eagle that won the Heisman?
Oh.
Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker.
Boom!
Hershey kiss.
Come on! Be impressed. I saw him play for the Eagles against the Dallas Cowboys. My first ever NFL game. Randall Cunningham was throwing that ball there.
You know I was happy when Herschel ended up Philly.
No. Yeah. No.
Yep.
No.
How old's Herschel now, you think?
Okay.
Nobody knows!
You think he could still get out there?
I don't know. These guys hit hard these days.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to think about this.
Herschel Walker, I'm going off what you say.
You're going to run out of music, man.
Think.
47.
49.
52.
Ah!
All right, gentlemen.
Salt and pepper.
Boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
Oh, this is Tone Loc.
Tone Loc celebrating a birthday.
Push it confused. Especially when nothing's
happening. Who did the original? The Trogs? Was it the Trogs that did Wild Thing?
Wow.
Tone Loc celebrating a birthday.
Fitty.
Oh, man. Tone Loc. 52.
Tone Loc just turned 48.
Ah, so close.
Yeah.
Ed O'Neill.
Nope.
Christina Applegate.
Nope.
Katie Sagal.
Nope.
The son.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I went to go see, what else has he been in? And it's like Sharknado. No, he wasn't, but it's like,
right.
Poor, poor guy.
Wait. What is his name? Okay.
He's been in a bunch of not huge stuff.
What was his name on the show?
I never really watched
it. Started with the B.
I was too young for this
show. I swear.
This
show. No, Peg Bundy, Al Bundy.
David Faustino.
David Faustino! I knew it!
Celebrating a birthday.
Started with a D.
No. What was his name on the show?
I forget. I've slept since then.
All right. David Faustino.
Okay. Christina Applegate. Let's go by her. Okay, so she is starting to look a little older. She's still beautiful. Don't get me wrong.
I'm going to say, if I was like 8, that kid was probably like, what, 16? So like 8 years older? I'm going to say he's 42.
I'm going to say he's 41.
Just hit 40.
Ah!
You guys were right there. The math was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Dates. We're to dates.
I piggybacked off Steve-O's math.
Swanee River is the state song for the great state of whence Dawn comes
and
from.
The funny thing is, if this might be the song. She has like a great granddad or something, relative, that wrote this.
Wow. Guess who this is singing it?
I don't know.
Hugh Laurie.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah. All right. He can play piano too, you know. Hugh Laurie. Playing their Swanee River for Florida because they became a state, 27th state on this date in what year?
Okay, Florida.
Whoa. 27.
Oh, man. Florida. Florida, Florida, Florida.
You guys ever see him play the piano on House?
No.
Yeah, he did.
FYI, David Faustino's character, Bud Bundy. I was right. Bud. I knew it was one of those.
Bud right. Bundy.
Sorry.
Florida, what year? State. Statehood.
1842.
1845. Oh, man! Oh, all right. I like this music, so I'm just going to keep it.
That's okay.
On this date in what year, Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone, was born in Edinburgh, Scotland.
19. I'm just kidding.
Go for it.
Come on.
1829. This is Hugh Laurie. This is so
It's crazy.
1845.
1847. Oh, man. Dang it.
All right, so on this date, gentlemen, in what year, New York City, the Martha Washington Hotel opened, become the first hotel exclusively for women?
Huh. Wow. How you doing over here
tonight? Ladies.
Ladies night at the hotel.
Yeah. New York ladies only. Was it a discrimination thing, though, or was it just like a spa for the ladies?
Well, I don't know. 1817. That's the same year Mississippi became a state.
Yeah, 1912. I don't know.
What did Matt say?
1817.
1903.
Ah.
Ladies got their own hotel.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Cool and the Gang would be doing it by now.
They're not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was late from Ladies Night. That's been the live version. Nice. I had to get there.
I'm glad we did. I'm glad we made that journey together. Ladies! Ladies!
Right. Okay, here we go. Here we go. On this date in what year, gentlemen? President Herbert Hoover signed into law a bill making the Star Spangled Banner the national anthem. Everyone salute. Watch the webcam, or your hand over your heart would be fine.
Why'd you take your shoe off?
I was trying to get a rock out, but then I had to stand.
That's not how
salute.
You salute. That's not. What did you guys learn out here? That's not how you salute. You went to military school. Wait, do you know something I don't know? Is that what you're supposed to do?
Here, Matt, take a look.
At what?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Steve-O took his shoe off.
To salute?
Yeah, it was weird. He had his salute up and his shoe over his heart.
I had like a pebble in my shoe, and I was down there, and then I had to salute, and I didn't want to.
What year was it? Come on, guys. Star Spangled Banner. And who did this arrangement?
Herbert Hoover.
John Williams.
This is John Williams.
This is John Williams. You did it. You did it. Herbert Hoover. Herbert Hoover. Wait.
See, what I did there was I had my shoe off, and then an officer approached, and you stop whatever it is you're doing, and you salute. So that's what happens. Period. The end.
Unless you want to hide in your car and not salute the flag. You guys see that story?
No.
No.
I'll have to find it for you.
Okay.
Herbert Hoover.
No clue. The inventor of the vacuum, right?
Okay. 19... No, I don't know.
We somehow got through the whole national anthem and still haven't guessed.
That's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be like that. 1948?
No.
I don't know.
Wasn't he way before?
I'm not sure.
Really? Come on.
1908.
1931.
Ah.
Man, guys.
Well, I couldn't remember.
No wonder we're always late over to Sopos. Okay, guys, last date.
Yay.
On this date in what year the Academy Awards were first broadcast on television by NBC?
Wow.
Little Nancy Sinatra.
1966.
1954.
1953.
Oh, man.
You were right there.
Well, I figured 54 was when our boy Elvis started rocking stuff, and if he can be on, why can't the Oscars?
Okay, so you guys want to know what week it is as well as day?
Yes!
It's National Cheerleading Week!
Yay!
It's National Write a Letter of Appreciation Week. I'll be expecting it tomorrow.
You got it.
This is Celebrate Your Name Week. Steve! Come on, Steve.
Oh, sorry.
This is National Pancake Week.
Ooh! That sounds yummy.
It's National Severe Storm Preparedness Week.
And we are prepared.
Batten down the hatches.
Yeah.
Man, there is no such thing as a severe storm out here.
It could happen.
Yeah, there is. You're wrong.
Just
every
wait.
50 years.
Every 50 years.
It's National Sleep Awareness Week.
Like a man, I'm aware that I didn't get any sleep last night, so that
And
counts.
When Matt and Dawn are out of town, Steve-O,
yeah.
It's Pet Sitters Week.
Hey!
No, that's not them.
No.
You're wrong, Steven. That's not them.
This is women.
It is. We celebrate it with Ashley, the pet sitter.
There you go.
Women in Construction Week.
Oh.
What happens when a woman goes walking by that site?
Probably. Never mind.
Okay. Today is Fun Facts About Names Day.
Oh.
You have to look up your names, guys.
Okay.
It's National Anthem Day.
Cool.
Which we kind of covered.
Yeah.
And today, finally, is Cold Cuts Day.
Yeah.
That is all.
All right. We got a great show today. It's Monday. We got a Mad Lib around the corner. Intern Doug's here.
Ah.
We're going to post a question of the day. It's going to be fun, people. It's March.
That's right.
And it's Team Awesome Morning Party.
In like a lion.
What? Knowing that all you have in store for me.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
Careful traffic.
Traffic report for you. But first, Steve-O, would you mind playing the Walking Dead theme for me? Thank you. Just wanted to be keeping with the theme that is currently destroying Paseo del Norte. We have construction at I-25 in Paseo. And as you know, it is the worst place in the world.
It really is right now.
So traffic on Paseo eastbound is down to about 10, 13 miles an hour. There's a lot of construction. And if you are going eastbound on Paseo, I hope that you have planned ahead, because you're going to be stuck if you haven't. And you're also going to be super late.
Yeah.
Right now, there's nothing else to report, but I'm telling you guys, Paseo is
awful.
Awful. It's a traffic jam. And that's all, that's all to report right now. So be careful out there. If you can avoid Paseo, I would take another street, but more than likely, those streets are going to be a little slower, too.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. This morning on Paseo, we were coming to work. I'd never seen this before. There was a police officer parked on the side, and it seemed like the crew in front of us, we were going the speed limit. There's like eight cars that were directly in front of us that were kind of the pack as we got onto Paseo, and then all of a sudden they all were gone because everybody was going really, really fast.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden way ahead of us we see, boo!
Yep.
It's like, dude!
Boom!
Somebody's getting pulled up! Oh, nope. Oh, I guess he was just telling that entire group to slow down.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
And then he was hiding.
Yeah. Then he went back to his hiding spot. And I was like,
ooh.
We know where you at, man.
That whole crew just put their brakes on.
Yeah. We saw it happen.
All
right. Scared him.
Speaking of The Walking Dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is this question of the day?
Question of the day. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to get in on it. According to a report in the Los Angeles Times, science is advancing at such a rate that an option may one day be available to the public to take a test that predicts how many years you have left to live.
Wow.
In a new study published by the PLOS Medicine, researchers revealed that certain levels of four biomarkers circulating in the bloodstream may strongly indicate when death is on the horizon. So the question is, if you had an option, would you take a test that predicted how many years you had left to live? Would you want to know?
Oh, man. How long you have.
Apparently, these researchers analyzed blood samples from more than 17,000 people living in Finland and Estonia, screening them for 106 different types of proteins. After a median follow-up period of 5 years, the researchers identified which study participants had died and compared their blood samples to the living. They found four biomarkers: alpha-1 acid glycosylation, albumin, very low density lipoprotein, Particle size and citrate.
Cool.
And, well, it was alpha 1 and then acid glycoprotein.
I love particles. I'm a scientist. My favorite color is clear.
They were all unusually high in the deceased patients 5 years prior to the deaths. Additionally, they created an index of the four chemicals. And individuals whose biomarker index was in the top 20% were 19 times more likely to die within the 5 years after those blood samples were taken.
Whoa.
So they were able to tell.
Whoa.
Within 5 years, these people's deaths.
Whoa.
Would you want to know?
I really do. I want to think about this because I'm not sure.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. Question of the day.
Yep.
If you could, would you take a test that predicted how many years you had left to live? I guess science is getting there.
Ooh.
According to the LA Times. According to these researchers. These four biomarkers may be indicators of deadly underlying conditions that go unnoticed by patients, but they can now determine how many years you have left to live.
Oh, it's creepy.
That is creepy. Static.
Low.
Yay, buddy.
Hey, man.
Hey, it was Bud.
It was Bud Bundy.
Yeah.
It was Bud Bundy. Did you guys already figure that out?
Yeah, he Googled it.
Oh, you are weak.
We have this crazy resource.
Like Mother Russia.
We have this crazy resource called the internet, and it's at our fingertips.
Would you take a test, pool boy, that told you?
No.
No? You don't want to know?
No, that just goes against everything, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to, man, because every day you should be living. I don't want to say like it's your last, it sounds kind of cliche, but, I mean, you should be out there loving people and just being, being light, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no matter, I mean, if you find out when you're going to die, it's just like, then you're doing everything because you know you're going to die. You know what I mean? But you should already know.
This is true.
Oh,
we're all going
to die.
Yeah. We're not promised tomorrow. That's very true.
Yeah. You guys, what do you think?
Man, I don't know.
We don't know.
I'm with Teo. I need to think about it because I'm like 50-50. Because part of me feels like if I had, say, 3 years, I take this stupid test and they're like, dude, you got 3 years. It'd be like, okay, I would live every freaking moment like it was the greatest moment in the universe to my fullest.
We say we would, but then I know anytime I had a test in college or if I have anything crazy coming up, like I know when it's going to be. Think about it.
You'd procrastinate. I would
put it off
this
to the
is
end.
Death.
I know.
Yes.
I would
exactly
I don't
it.
Know. I feel like I would, which is sad because now I'm thinking maybe I should just start doing this anyway. I really feel like I would enjoy my kids more and I would make it a point to be just.
Oh, come on. You should enjoy them more now.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I already do enjoy them. We already, you know what I mean? I'm already at every freaking
practice. We already know what it what it does to the axis of the earth, bro.
Yeah.
It's true.
You know, we don't want to know. We don't want to know. We just got to know eternity and that's it.
There you go. Poor boy from Christmas.
All right, man. I love you guys.
Love you, too. Yeah, I don't know.
I really think me, knowing myself, I would find a way to put everything off. I'd be like, man, I've only got 3 years left to live.
Yeah,
dang.
But that's like chemically, like, hey, you got 3 years left to live because your body says this. That doesn't mean there's not car accidents or...
True.
You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to live for 3 years.
That's barring any craziness.
That's barring any other thing that happens in your life. Oh. This just gives you an idea of when your body's going to run out of body, basically. Would you want to know? Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or 505-338-3700. Question of the day. According to a report in the LA Times, this option is closer than we think, but would you take a test that predicts how many years your body had left to live?
Man.
I know! Let us know in 3 minutes and 37 seconds. Your favorite moment.
Oh,
it's called Mad Lib Monday.
We don't have to, though.
Oh, we do. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at them.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Hi.
As promised, Teo's favorite segment.
I don't feel like we should promise people this.
Question of the day is posted. Would you take a test that predicted how many years you had left?
Would you?
According to a report in the LA Times, an option may be closer than we think.
Weird.
Yeah.
Science.
Yeah, researchers have been doing studies, and they've narrowed down some different biomarkers and indicators that can really tell you how much time a body has left.
But I wonder if
what do you want to know?
Maybe it's like, I wonder if you took the test when you were born, and then if you took it when you were like 30.
If it was the same?
It depends on like, you know, if you're doing drugs, or if you're a smoker, mm-hmm. or if you exercise, or if you just sit around all day, you know,
yeah.
those things have to factor in, right?
I'm sure.
And then, like you said, even if you have a test that predicts when your body will naturally pass away, there's always crazy things like car accidents. And
zombie apocalypse,
meteor strikes.
Yeah. Paseo, you know, Hell Norte.
Getting caught up in some government conspiracy and getting hunted down and you have to survive. Just normal stuff.
Just, you know, everyday life.
Some people, that happens to them. Some people, they stumble onto conspiracies, and as soon as they start talking about them, all these guys in black suits start popping up.
Yeah.
They got sunglasses on. You're like, wait a second, it's nighttime. Why is he wearing sunglasses? And then they're following you. And then you see all these unmarked cars.
Was
and you're
this
like,
Enemy
that's
of the State you watched recently?
Another
or E.T.?
Lincoln. This is fourth grade for me. This is what happened to me.
This did not happen to
it
you.
It did happen to me.
Oh, man. You know what's about to happen to you? Your favorite segment of the week.
No.
Oh.
No.
Press the button.
No.
Mad Lib Monday.
Boycott.
You can't boycott
I'm boycotting
Mad
it.
Lib Monday.
I am boycotting it right now. The Baptist in me is taking a stand.
338-3700. I play the music.
This is not edifying to me.
The phone lines immediately line up.
No. Hey, if we do this, I'm going to stumble. I'm going to stumble.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to stumble.
I don't care anymore. I don't even care.
See, they hung up. They care about me.
Static.
You can't boycott Mad Lib Monday, man.
Mad
Lib loves you, man.
Yeah. No, it does not love me. It wants me to be miserable.
You know what? You replace love with whatever adjective you want. That's how it feels about you.
Hatred.
Yep.
Like a Mad Lib.
Wooly, I got a question for you.
I got an answer for you, brother.
Yes. I need a part of the body.
A part of the body?
Yeah.
A part of the body. The dome, the head. That's what we're going to go with.
I like it.
Okay.
Do we call it the dome, though?
We're going to call it the dome.
That's what we're going to call
it. The top part of the head. That's
yeah, the
what it
dome.
Is.
All right.
Dome.
That's good.
Dome.
I
hey,
like that.
Love y'all. How
love
was the
you
weekend?
Too.
Good weekend?
It's crazy. Okay.
Brody's got fever
Brody's
again.
Fevery.
So this dude's
oh,
really
noddy,
getting
Brody.
Sleep.
That's, yeah, no, it's Grody.
Yeah, it's, that is. It is Grody.
That's a lot of rhyming.
Yeah.
I'm right here for you, Mateo. I know you love this stuff, brother.
No sleep.
Hey, y'all have a good one. Peace out. Let's do this Monday. Let's start this week off right. Here we go.
Let's do this Monday.
Raise the roof.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you guys need?
I need a noun.
I need some prescription medicine.
A noun. Okay. How about Smarties?
Smarties.
That'll work.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Yep. I had Smarties this weekend for the first time in like a decade.
I think Luke ate some Smarties and went nuts.
Yeah.
He was going, ah, ah, ah. You want to play a board game? Like, real quiet. And I was like, sure. And then we sat down to play and he was like, bah!
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Of course.
Smarties.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Static.
Hi, this is Claire.
Hi, Claire.
Hey, Claire.
How are you?
Good. And why does Mateo not like Mad Lib Monday?
Because he's a bad person.
Claire, it's the worst. Are you familiar with the term called the worst? Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Claire, don't listen to him. Don't listen. He's trying to be one of the cool kids. Don't ever try and be one of the cool kids. Just enjoy life.
Claire, I'm not trying to be a cool kid. I am a cool kid.
I love Mad Lib Monday.
Then you
and
should.
I do too.
You should join with me and not love it.
Claire, we will rise up and create a new nation of Mad Libbers. It'll be fantastic, and that's what we'll do all day.
Claire,
before
we do Mad Lib, let me ask you this. If you could take a test that would predict your whole life and how long it was going to last, would you take it?
Only God knows.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Boom.
You just Jesus shoot me, Claire. How old are
good.
You?
That was
You're
good.
You're 3, 4, 5?
7. I don't know.
Cool.
Hey, Claire, can I get a noun from you?
Oh, hello?
Sister.
Sister.
Do you have any sisters?
My sister's homesick.
Oh, man.
Claire, I have two sisters.
My son is homesick. I feel you. It's no bueno.
Have a good day.
Brilliant radio.
She's awesome.
Static!
Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi.
How do I follow that call?
Good luck, friend.
Well, I need a part of the body.
Ooh.
That's
how it. About... Oh, gosh, I got to make this good.
Yeah, because yeah. Claire's listening, bro.
She's listening right now. So
Claire's listening, okay.
She's judging you, TJ.
How about Grandma Arms?
Okay. Grandma Arms.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
How's that van doing?
Oh, it's going.
Just creeping around?
I'm driving it right now.
Oh, be careful, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you be careful out there.
Who creeps on the creepers?
All right, Teej.
Yeah.
Bye.
Oh, man. Static.
Hey, did I win?
Yeah. You did. You won. The opportunity to give me a noun.
A noun?
Yeah.
Pink eye.
Pink eye? All right.
You got pink eye?
All right, P. Bob Costas. He's still with us.
He didn't pass away.
Yeah.
The phone call did.
Speaking of, I need a name of a celebrity.
Can I give you one?
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
No. Oh, sorry. Female.
Oh, gosh. Jemina Carrey. Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel. It's her birthday.
Yeah.
That works. I don't even know how to spell Biel, so I'm going to spell it incorrectly. Like Ally McBeal. 505.
She was there last night. Calista Flockhart.
Yeah.
She's married to Harrison Ford.
Yep. 505-338-3700. I'm doing a TV celebrity thing since
Brilliant.
The Oscars was last night.
I love it.
But I need help, people. This is why Teo does not like Mad Lib Monday.
And you guys all know it.
Phone lines are open.
And
505-338-3700, the phone number. We also posted the question of the day at our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can get there. Chime in on the question of the day. Give us some words.
It is Monday.
Yeah.
And we are doing a Mad Lib.
Mm-hmm.
And we need your participation.
We do. Static.
Hi.
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 I need a plural noun.
A plural noun.
Yeah.
Cars.
All right.
Perfect. What's your favorite kind of car?
It's probably a Mustang.
Lamborghini, got it.
Beautiful.
All right, thank you.
Perfect. Static.
Hey, guys. You are so needy, aren't you?
We are. I need
You're
an
needy.
Adjective.
All right. What do you need?
Adjective.
Adjective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now you need to know what that is, don't you?
Yeah, see?
I know what it is.
Pointing those fingers. Three fingers pointing right back. Boom.
How about needy?
That'll work.
How about rough?
Oh,
rough. Okay.
I hope your day's not rough.
Yeah.
I hope so, too. My husband predicted that his would be, and so pray for him.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks
Love
for the
guys.
Call.
Bye.
Static.
What's up?
Hola.
How's it
what
going?
Do you guys need?
I need a part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Hairy knee.
Hairy knee.
Hairy knee.
Beautiful. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Hairy knee.
I like that whenever we ask for a part of the body.
I cringe a little.
You do.
I do.
And you prepare.
I do. I put my finger on the dump button because I never know. 505-338-3700. I got kids like Claire listening. All right.
Oh, sweet Claire. Thank you for calling, Claire.
An audience of all ages that love Mad Lib Monday.
If there's one thing that gets me through Mad Lib Monday, it's when we have the callers.
The wee ones?
They genuinely love it, and it's the kids. They call in and they're like, hey, this is my favorite, Mateo. You
don't
need
try
to quit
and flip
being
the
a
script
jerk.
Now. Yeah.
Hi.
Are you a little kid?
Kind of.
Okay,
cool.
We'll accept that. I need a noun.
Okay. Amoeba.
Yeah. Amoeba. All right. I'm spelling that way wrong.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. Static.
Hi, what do you need?
Plural noun.
Plural noun. I can't help myself. Boogers.
Boogers.
Thank you.
Sorry.
What? That's the other facet of Mad Lib Monday. I
don't
love
apologize.
It's when the adults call in and they go straight kid on everybody.
Yep.
Oh, man, let me think. I got bills. They got to run by the bank. Boogers. Boogers will go in that blank.
505-338-3700, the phone number. It is Mad Lib Monday. Whatever. You know, when you were a kid and you played Mad Libs, it was all poops and turds.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean when I was a kid? I'm happy that the girl that called in a minute ago that said amoeba, I'm glad she didn't say anemone.
Oh, yeah, because I already...
Anemone, that is a tough word to spell.
Meeba.
Because Jack and Luke and I were playing Oceanopoly.
Yeah.
Not Monopoly, Oceanopoly.
Right.
And there was a place called Anemone. And I was like, anemone. How do you spell that? Nobody knows.
505-338-3700. I still need a few more.
We need a few more.
It's a long one. My bad.
It's a long one.
505-338-3700, the phone number. 505-338-3700. It's Mad Lib Monday. Need your words, people.
You know what? You know who this segment is for?
Who?
The birds. Why are we doing this?
Static.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. Can I get a noun from you?
Death.
Death.
Thank you for being so sunny on this day.
Yeah.
You're so welcome.
We appreciate your input.
Incredible. Thanks for the call. Static.
Hi. I was calling in for Mad Lib Monday.
Bless you. I need an adverb.
An adverb. Snowy.
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 Sure.
Thank you.
Snowily.
Snowily.
Snow. Time snowily.
Snowily.
Oh, my gosh. My wife is going crazy at home, I'm sure.
Like,
we'll make that an adverb.
No!
Snowily.
Snowily.
I mean, sure.
Here, I'll Google it.
505-338-3700, the phone number.
Snowy.
Static.
Hi. It's Lisa from Iowa.
Well, hello, Lisa from
Iowa. How's the farm doing?
Good.
Lisa, did you listen on Saturday when it was just me talking by myself?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm never doing it again. I'm never doing it again. You were the one person.
I love you when you're by yourself because you sound like you don't know if anybody's listening.
I did it because obviously you're not. You just told me you weren't.
Yep. Amazing.
Never doing it again.
Yes, you are.
Nope.
Every single Saturday, 6 to 10.
I had a DJ shift in college, and that's just what it felt like.
There you go. There you go. Amazing.
Bless.
Lisa, can I get an adverb from you?
Sure. How about horribly?
Horribly.
Thank you.
Gosh, that was great.
Have a good day.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. Right,
bye.
Lisa in Iowa. Static.
Hey, it's Taxi Mom.
Taxi Mom.
Taxi Mom. Taxi Mom with kids that love Mad Lib.
There you go. I like that. How many are you taxiing off this morning?
Three that are going to school.
Okay.
Or actually four. Four that are going to school. Little girl gets to stay with me.
Oh, there you go. Wow. That is that's a full taxi right there.
It is.
All right, Taxi Mom.
How much do you charge them?
I'm sorry?
How much do you charge? What's the rate?
It's quite hefty. $100 an hour.
That's nice.
That's great. That's cool. That, if only.
I wish.
If
I wish.
Only.
Man, those kids are rich.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
Yeah. Can I get a noun?
A noun? School.
School. There you
How's
go.
How's that?
Beautiful.
All right.
That's your favorite
Thanks,
place.
Taxi Mom. I know.
Bye. Bye.
Amazing. Hello.
Good morning, Static.
Good morning.
Good morning, you.
Woohoo! Why do you need for Mad Libs? By the way, I love Mad Lib Monday.
See?
Thank you so much.
Final word. This is finally going to put an end to this one.
I need
a part of the body, plural.
Ooh, let's do elbows.
Yeah. Elbows.
Everybody's got them. Well, most people have them.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right. Bye, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Are you ready for this?
One day somebody's going to punch me in the face.
Yeah. at some point.
It's going to happen. It's probably going to be Nick from CrossFit.
To. Yeah.
He's going to be like, I feel like you need to be stronger. And I'm going to say, but Nick, I can't. And he's going to go, punch! Now you are. And I'm going to say, Nick, now I've got to go to the hospital.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right.
This Mad Lib is called TV Celebrity Magazine Piece. Breathless, wearing her glasses on top of her dome, Jessica Biel rushes into her dressing room on the set of One Smarties to Love. She's wearing a colorful sister around her grandma's arms, a full-length pink eye, and very cool cars. Off-screen, as well as on, she's independent and rough, and very comfortable in her own hairy knees.
Gross.
You understand immediately why she's a role amoeba for millions of teenagers... You understand immediately why she's a role amoeba. Nope, I'm getting it right. You understand immediately why she's a role amoeba for millions of teenage boogers. An adult gave us the boogers. Although she's rehearsing her death. That's good. What'd you do today? I just walked around rehearsing death. She still finds time to snowily talk to us. But before we get far, she's called to the set. The interview ends horribly. Before leaving, she turns and says, just because you're thought of as a school symbol doesn't mean you have a good head on your elbows. Because let's face it, what does it mean if you have a good head on your elbows?
Yeah.
We may never know, and ever. We might never want to know.
Truth.
Which takes us to our question of the day.
Yep.
Would you want to know when you were going to die if you could take a test and it told you when?
According to a report in the LA Times, science is closer and closer to actually having that test for the public.
For the public.
An option closer than we think. So the question of the day is, would you take a test that predicted how many years your body had left? Get there, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Coming right back, we'll be talking more about that. Also, some cardboard kids. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now. I wanted to hear the noise.
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Good morning. Yeah.
I waited till now to talk.
Oh. Did you want to talk?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Just waiting.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday. If you live in Nashville, you are covered in a glaze of ice.
Really?
Yep. They got an ice storm.
Wow.
A legitimate ice storm. So be careful if you're driving around. Dawn! She knows. She said she was going to be super smart. Because she is super smart and lovely and funny and awesome, and she's not going to drive in the ice.
I like
that. I'll be afraid.
Look at you. You doter, you.
Doting. I'll be afraid. So don't do it, Dawn.
It is Monday. It is Team Awesome Morning Party. We've been talking about something little on the creepy side, if you will. Science!
Science is creepy. Sort of.
According to a report in the Los Angeles Times, we may be getting closer and closer to an option that will let us know how many years our body has left. A new study published in the PLOS magazine. Researchers reveal that certain levels of four biomarkers circulating in the bloodstream may strongly indicate when death is on the horizon.
Ah! My body tells me no, but I won't quit. 'Cause I want more.
Yeah. So the question of the day is this. If you could take a test that predicted how many years you had left to live, would you want to know? Would you want to take this? Let us know. Or is this just weird science?
Neato. Well, we have some people. Well, we posed the question on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
According to a report, LA Times, science is advancing at such a crazy rate that one day you soon may be able to take a test that can indicate how long you have left to live. What? Would you take the test? Why or why not? Tell us here. TJ says, I could tell people I took it and only had 5 to go. People would be extra nice and give me nice things. Immediately following that, Bill Peterson posted, I'd do it. I'm a lot closer to death than you guys. Then I would play the pity card and get as many free meals as possible. And right after that, TJ said, beat you to it, Bill. Ha ha ha. So they had a war. Sadly for both of them, a guy named Jed commented, and Mr. Jed Fernando, in fact. And he said, "What if you take the test and find out that you should have died like a few years ago? Winning! You win the internet, Jed."
That's good. That's a good comment.
Stephanie Bear says, "Nah, I wouldn't want to give myself something else to pine over. You see, I am extremely neurotic about things I cannot change."
Okay.
Thank you for that glimpse into your personal life. Brandon says, Psalm 39:4, "O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am."
Ooh.
So he's backing it up with scripture.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Aaron says, "No way." And Sarah says, "Because that is nonsense."
Okay.
I don't know if she... Should I ask her, like, wait, does that mean... Hang on, I'll ask her. Wait.
Oh, man.
Does that mean you would or would not want to take it? Does that mean yes or no to the test? Smiley face, so she knows I'm just picking on her. We'll see what happens. I put an emoticon there, so hopefully she knows I'm not like,
yeah,
like being mean. Emoticons they're really important, because if you're typing something and you don't put an emoticon, then people might think you're not being real, or you're being too real. So what I like to do is whenever I write a comment back to somebody, I put like a smiley face, like, "Hey, I'm just joshing with you."
Wow.
Or if I'm mad, I put that red face with the scowl on it, like, "Hey." And then if I'm being like a smart aleck, I put the smirky one.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm being a smart aleck.
I just got that from a friend.
Up.
I just got the sad one, the crying, so that I knew that he really was upset about something.
Oh, no!
Buccaneers released their uniforms.
They did. Oh, is that your friend from Tampa?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, dude. Sorry, man.
They look stupid.
No, they don't look stupid. They look fine. Stupid. They look fine. They have a little orange thing on them, and... That's fine.
They look terrible.
They don't look terrible.
That's not what we're talking about.
No, we're
talking about science. Question of the day.
Weird science.
Question of the day. If you could take a test that predicted how many years you had left to live, would you take it? We want to know. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. It is 8:17, which means we probably need to take another quick peek.
Oh, God.
At them roads.
There's not enough time. No. I clicked the wrong link.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. It went to the email. All I've got is a subject line. And a bunch of folders. I don't know about traffic.
Oh, man.
Hang
is it really that the computer is terrible, or I'm starting
user
to sense
error.
A pattern here.
User error. And then Celeste totally backs you up because she says it just works perfectly for her.
Yeah, this is true.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, Paseo Hell Norte is in full effect.
Yep.
So be careful.
Welcome to it.
If you are eastbound on there, you're going to be getting down to about 12, 13, 14 miles an hour right before you get to the intersection. It's right where Jefferson is,
mm-hmm.
Jefferson and Paseo. But then up here in this neck of the woods towards Rio Rancho,
Alameda,
all these roads up in this place.
Up in
Applewood, Mirasol, all of those. Guys, it's slow going up there too.
Yeah.
So if you are coming south on, is this Unser?
That's Unser, yeah.
If you're coming south on Unser towards Rio Rancho, maybe right before you get to Alameda, you're going to be going a little slower than usual.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's your typical AM morning traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669.
That's right.
Oh, yes. This band always reminds me of our special guest on the morning show tomorrow.
Yep.
Hollywood!
Hollywood!
From Family Force 5,
he'll be
joining us for New Music Tuesday. He's the dude that introduced me to this band.
Yes.
Whom I love greatly. So.
Young the Giant being who you are speaking of.
Yeesh.
Yeah, tomorrow for New Music Tuesday, we're going to have a special guest, Hollywood from Family Force 5. Used to be just Teddy and Waverly. Now his name is Hollywood.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The cool thing is he's going to bring in some suggestions.
Yeah.
And one of his suggestions is his band that he was in before Waverly.
What?
Called Kevin.
I've never heard him.
They just released a new album.
Okay.
And we're
really
going to have a good time.
I'm glad it's a new album and not like, "Hey, man, would you play this from 2004?
Yeah.
It's my old band.
It's my old band.
No,
it's a brand new album. It just came out a few weeks ago. Man, you know that guy. He is not about anything.
Here's
from,
a question.
From yesterday. Do he likes it fresh.
Do we have to call? So then we have to call him Hollywood, huh?
We're going to call it Hollywood's Hits.
But we have to call him Hollywood.
Yeah, we have to. It's his thing. It's his brand. We're helping him.
All right.
We are assisting with the building of his brand.
Okay.
We're going to honor that. It's just the same reason all you guys call me Mateo.
Yep.
With two T's, because I'm from the South.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. Question of the day is posted. Would you take a test that predicted how many years you had left? If you're just joining us, scientists say that we are closer and closer to discovering that. In fact, through research and screenings of 17,000 people living in Finland and Estonia, they screened them for 106 different types of proteins. After that, they found four biomarkers that really signified within 5 years.
Reliable yeah. prediction. Call in. Let us know what you think. We want to hear your opinion.
You? Would you want to?
I'm staying with the I don't want to know just because I feel like I'd put everything off. It would be such a downer
to know.
And it doesn't matter cuz even if they give me a test that says, "Hey, this is when your body will naturally decay." It's like, "Yeah, but so much crazy stuff could happen. I could get involved in a gang war. I could, you know, encounter a mutated dragon. I could possibly sail out into the Pacific with my friend Josh Dunn from 21 Pilots. We would shipwreck on a deserted island and open a casino resort called Santa's Sack, which is holiday themed. The S's would be money signs. We could potentially make a ton of money, and then I could invest in science to make myself live for another 200 years. So there's really no point in me taking this test because I've got all these other plans. What?
Your brain is
you haven't
so
thought about
stupid.
That?
I love it.
What do you mean it's stupid?
Oh, it's incredible.
I've got a financial plan. I've got a plan for the next 20 years. I have plan A, B, C, D, and F. I skipped E.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is called improv, and that was brilliant.
That's actually not improv. I tweeted Josh this weekend because he said, I still have no plan B. And then I was like, plan B. Me and you sail out into the Pacific Ocean together, shipwreck on a deserted island, and open a holiday-themed resort casino called Santa's Sack.
That's
where the
incredible.
S's are money signs.
That's great.
He liked it. He favorited it. TJ, Josh from 21 Pilots favorited my tweet.
You've made it.
I know. Last week, I milked life.
You got your own radio show?
No, you know what? I was thinking about this, though. I would be... Just thinking about death and all this stuff, I've been super blessed in my life. I've lived a charmed life.
Yeah.
Compared with, well, not to be just comparing, but I don't know. Like, I've been super blessed, and I'm thankful.
Yeah?
I'm thankful for that.
I kind of feel like, I don't know, if I knew, you don't think you'd take more risks? You think you'd really just be lazy and play video games and waste it away?
Oh, I definitely wouldn't play video games. I'm scared I would get, like, depressed or something, you know?
Yeah, I guess that comes with it. I don't know, 505-338-3700, the phone number. If you could take a test that predicted how many years you had left to live, scientifically, doesn't mean that other things, you know, unforeseeable events wouldn't happen, but if science could tell you, hey man, this is how many years your body has left to live, would you want to know why or why not? 505-338-3700.
Wait, I think that Sarah girl answered me.
Oh, good.
Hang on.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio as well.
She says,
let us know.
Absolutely not. I think it would provoke fear in people. Isn't there enough to worry about these days? Smiley face. See, she totally got it.
Yeah, but on the flip side, you wouldn't have to worry about it. You just know. You're like, I don't have to worry about this because I already know.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Solid point.
Because so many people are like petrified to go out of their front door because they're scared. Oh, man, what if I fall off the sidewalk and die? Mm. Now it's like, hey, man, guess what? This is how many years you have left. There's two sides.
Michael has a fantastic point. He says, depends how much is this test.
That's true,
That's too. That's a solid point, because if the test is expensive, then more than likely
for
people are going to go,
for argument's sake, it's
I'm
free.
Good.
Who cares?
Yeah, let's
it's
say
free.
It's a free test, and
it's
they
covered
give you...
under Obamacare.
They give you a free box of Runts when you're walking out. What? I would take the test then if I knew there were Runts involved, or bottle caps, or sweet tarts.
What about Skittles, man? Come on.
It'd be a toss-up. If I ate too many Skittles, my teeth hurt.
Speaking of 21 Pilots and Josh Dunn, how about we play the latest from those dudes?
I like it.
All right. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
The Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Oh, Monday, you joker.
You're a jerk. Monday, not you. It's cool.
Team Awesome Morning Party, welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. Good morning.
Steve-O, Mateo, we are with you. And we are loving your responses on our Facebook page.
Yeah. The girl, Sarah, has another follow-up. She says she was a hospice nurse for 5 years, and there's no saying how long people have.
Yeah. See?
There you go.
If you're just joining us, according to a report in the LA Times, an option may one day be available to the public to take a test that predicts how many years your body has left. This is science, bruh.
Science, bruh.
In a new study published in PLOS Medicine, researchers revealed that certain levels of four biomarkers circulating in the bloodstream may indicate when death is on the horizon. Question of the day. Would you take a test that predicted how many years you had left? Would you want to know? Phone lines are open,
505-338-3700
or facebook.com/mystaticradio.
Or we have an email, studio@mystaticradio.com, if you're not a fan of the Facebooks or the phone.
Yeah.
Maybe you just don't like words that begin with F.
Tell us about your thing.
Facebook. Phone.
Phone. Gotcha. Mississippi, y'all.
Hey. Phony. You're a phony.
Oh, you're a phony.
Forever. Forever. You've seen Sandlot.
Yeah.
Would you want to live forever?
Well, we're all going to live forever. Smoking or none.
What is it? Heroes something, but legends never die? Tim, call in. Tim knows what it is.
505-338-3700, the phone number, or facebook.com/mystaticradio. You could tell us.
Yeah, we don't have any more comments on the Facebook.
There you go.
But, you know, I've already read. Actually, we do. David says, I would question the probability of the accuracy of the test. 50%? You know it would not be 100%, so it really wouldn't make a difference. Or so would it really make a difference? No. Yeah. Thanks for being a David Downer, David. We're trying to have fun. Just kidding. Michael says, if they're wrong, can you get your money back?
Oh.
That's a good point.
Would you, I mean, I almost feel like, would you want your money back if they were wrong?
What if the test was $5,000,
okay,
and if it was wrong, you got your money back with interest? But if it was right, you were dead. So they got to keep the money. That's a fun movie idea. Hey, that's mine. Don't you take it out there, movie writer.
Static.
Hey, guys.
Are you a movie writer?
Am I a what writer?
A movie writer.
Do you write movies?
No.
Don't you take my idea, movie writer.
I'm sorry.
Good.
But I do have this, the right quote for you.
Okay.
It's, yeah, please.
Heroes get remembered,
but
legends never die.
Heroes get remembered, legends never die. Thank you, friend.
That's good.
I try.
Hey, speaking of that, would you take this test? I'm
sorry. Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because what's the fun in that?
What's the fun in not taking it?
I don't know.
Well, you know, you don't want to live like, continually, like, worried, like, hey, oh, by the way, tomorrow, that's the day.
Well, but wouldn't it take away some of the stress if you knew? It'd be like, you know what, I got 3 years.
Well, it might take away the stress unless you found out it was 6 weeks.
Right?
Oh, man!
I would call
kind of think of, like, the episode of How I Met Your Mother when Barney knew when he was going to get slapped. He's like, no, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Mm. And freaking out. So, I don't know.
You don't know. Hey, thanks for calling.
Thanks. How's it going?
You too.
You too.
See, now I feel like, what would I do in that situation if I found out? I think I'd call JJ and be like, bro, I just took this stupid test.
Yeah.
And I won't be around for episode 7, 8, or 9.
Oh, no.
I need you to tell me how it resolves.
Please send, just let me come in, film a scene.
Is old Harrison Ford cool? Just he had an earring at the Oscars.
Let me read the outline. Just let me read the outline.
He seemed very hungry for pizza. Like, is he good? Does he make? Is he going to make a good old Han Solo?
Yeah, specifically. I need to know. Specifically hungry for pizza.
These are answers I need to know now. Also, Marvel.
Marvel.
What's up with Avengers 3?
Yeah, let's talk about Phase 3 and 4.
Yeah, I just need to know.
Oh, man. Let's talk
about...
I
wouldn't really care about
it. I would, though.
Yeah?
Speaking of all that, I'd be like, oh, man, I need to get some knowledge about important stuff. What movies are coming out? Let's see here. It would be kind of cool, though, because maybe you could dedicate your life to something just incredible.
Right!
You know, like maybe you did find out that you had 3 years left to live, and you were like, all right, this is what I've always been good at. I'm going to find a way to use this for the betterment of mankind, and that's going to be the end of my life. That's the end-all be-all. I'm not going to do anything else.
But this begs the question.
Yeah.
Why aren't you doing that now?
Because I got to have a job.
Not you, but I mean in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People, if they find out, oh man, I've got 3 years left to live, I'm going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just go for it now?
Oh, so you find out you got 3 years left to live and you do a Kickstarter. You figure out what your project's going to be and you do a Kickstarter. You're like, hey, I just took the test. I got 3 years left to live. This is what I want to do. I have the capability. I have the knowledge. I have the intuition. I've got the strength. Help me do this.
You know who's going to fund that?
Who?
No one.
Nuh-uh.
Because everyone's going to be taking the test, and they're all going to be doing Kickstarters.
No!
And there's not enough money in the world to fund everybody's Kickstarter.
What if your thing, though, was like, what if you found out? Oh my gosh, I just had another movie idea. Okay, don't steal this, anybody. Say you take this test. There's a test in the future that allows you to know when you're going to die and how you're going to die.
Why would you want to know how?
Say you were going to get like a debilitating disease.
Okay.
And then you dedicated the rest of your life to finding a cure for that disease no matter what. Say you're a medical scientist.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, this is it. No more just doing my rounds at the hospital. This is what I'm going for. So then you're like going all around the world. You're going to jungles. You're digging up mushrooms. You're doing all kinds of stuff trying to find this ingredient that we need desperately because you've got a theory that this one thing that we haven't tried yet might work. You dedicate your life. The end of the movie, you don't make it. But the cure happens. Because what happened is there was a tiny little piece that you didn't think about, but your assistant, after you die, figures it out.
Oh, gosh.
And then they cure that. But without you, it would have never happened, without your intuition. So really, you didn't save yourself, but you saved the world.
I've heard that story.
Save the cheerleader, save the world. It could work. This could be a great film.
Static.
Aren't you just kind of in a roundabout way ripping off Final Destination?
Aren't we all in a roundabout way just ripping off everything else, TJ?
Oh, well, man.
You know, come on.
Didn't Bill just rip you off?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He tried to.
He tried.
I beat him to it.
Now, Final Destination, it's a little different. It involves death trying to be a murderer. And they personified death, and you can't see it, but it throws bricks off buildings and kills the main character.
But death is Satan, so it is a personification.
Hey, now, hang on. This isn't Theology Thursday, and I'm not getting into this. This is my movie idea, and you're not going to ruin it with your van, TJ.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Teach.
I'm sorry.
I love you.
I love you, too.
I'll give you a movie. I'll give you an executive producer credit.
Gosh. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. We got to take care of some things.
Oh, we do.
Like some thank yous to local businesses that help us and support us and all that. Yeah.
And we're going to play some good music.
Yeah, we are. Harrison Hudson on the way. We got the Vespers on the way. And your thoughts, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Coming up, going to be talking about another research thing. Scientists, not only are they finding out the day that we're going to die, but they're also discovering better ways to communicate with your pet.
What?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
I'm going to be able to talk to Panda?
You have no idea.
Yes.
It's coming up. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Panda.
Static.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
And here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
Hey.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Hey.
Good news, everybody.
Good news.
The world is turning. The sun came out today. It is March 3rd, 2014. It is a glorious day. Now, we've been talking about this test Get to our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. A test that predicted how many years you had left. Science says we're closer than ever to being able to take that test. So question of the day, would you want to know? But I got to transition onto something because
we do.
You, sir, have a cat.
Hey!
You love your cat.
You, sir, have a cat that lives in your house.
I do. I do. According to software that is being developed, this technology.
Technology.
Swedish researchers are experimenting with No More Woof. It's a device that can translate dogs' thoughts into speech.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Like on Up.
Yeah.
Squawk!
The gadget, which is in its infancy stages, uses brain sensors to track dog thought patterns and emits the result through a loudspeaker.
That's awesome.
I feel like that would scare the dog
These
every time.
These guys watched Up.
Yeah. Next to the dog's head.
Oh, my gosh.
The Nordic Society for Invention and Discovery.
Of course.
They're the group behind No More Woof.
That's awesome.
They use EEG, electroencephalography.
Yes.
Right?
You know what? If this thing comes out and it's real and it works, everyone's going to buy this.
But is it going to work? Because I feel like they already have this technology for babies.
That's a big what.
It's supposed to tell you, like, hungry. But I don't think that, I don't know. Electroencephalography.
Yeah.
Sensoring microcomputing and special brain-computer interface software. That's what they're working on. They explain that dog thought patterns are more like mental states than actual pronounced thoughts. So with this new device,
happy.
Dogs are going to be able to say, I'm hungry.
Yeah, it'll be like, I'm happy.
I'm tired.
Sad.
I'm curious who that is. That's
who is this?
So you're not going to have like these heart-to-hearts with your dog.
Threatened.
Yeah. But here's the thing. The brainwaves differ quite a lot from different races as well as dogs.
Oh.
So they say it's possible to detect some common patterns, and they have no doubt that in the future the technology will open up a vast new era of communication between dogs and humans, or animals in general and humans.
Cool.
Yeah.
In general means also cats.
Yeah.
Okay, what if randomly and crazily, well, it wouldn't be so random.
Right.
But in a twist
of fate.
Of fate. they could get the science down to where they could actually make more of an expression to where your cat was actually talking to you or your dog was actually talking to you. In a crazy twist of fate, we found out that dogs were jerks and cats were really, really cool. Because right now, the common conception is that cats are jerks.
Oh, yeah.
And dogs are man's best friend.
No, that's true.
But what if, like, we had a collar on a dog and the dog was like, hey,
pay attention to me.
Hungry. Go back to the bowl. Why are you going to the kitchen? That's not where the dog food is. We both know where it is. It's in the garage. Go to the garage and get me some food, you jerk. I've been waiting here all day for you to get home from work, and now you need to pet me. You need to clean me.
They are very needy.
You know, but then, like, you go over to the cat, and the cat's like, huh? What? No, I'm just going to go sleep over here in the corner. Don't you have stuff to do?
I assumed you wanted alone time.
You want time,
I
right?
I figured you wanted your privacy.
I'm cool. I'll be over here in an hour for some petting. It'll take 5 minutes, and I'm going to come back here and sit down, or I'm going to chase that moth over there. You don't like spiders, right? I killed 4 of them today. Right?
I'd be so bummed. And the dog's like, hey, me! Me! Me!
But see, then
constantly.
Then Panda would get up in the window, and you'd look up, and she'd go,
I don't know how to get down from
no,
here.
No, she'd look up, and she'd go, I knew I could get in this window, and nothing will stop me. Whoa! Whoa, Panda, whoa!
Yeah.
I got this, yo. It's all good. That would be hilarious. That and then humanity would just be rocked at its core. We have trusted dogs for so long, and they're jerks. And cats are nice? Is this why the Egyptians worshipped cats? What is going on? What is this?
Oh, man. This is great technology. Right now, the Swedes are looking to fund the project with Indiegogo, actually. You can pre-order 3 different tiers of devices ranging from $65 to $1,200.
Yeah.
I guess the most expensive version promises your dog can speak short sentences. We even have a model, if you will, an example. Here's what it's going to look like,
Let's
and this is great.
I want to hear it. Let's go. Go.
Okay, dog. Ready?
Yes.
Human! 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 Look at me! Look at me! I want to play! Let's go outside! Now! 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 I'm so excited! I'm so excited! Human. Hi, dog.
Hi, dog.
Dog. Flowers and grass and doghouse and slide and dirt and mud and warm and roll and run and fun. What's that noise? Human! 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 Hi, dog. Dog.
Hi,
human,
dog.
I'm jumping. I'm jumping, human. Human, I'm jumping. Pet my head. Pet my head. Rub my belly. Pet my head and rub my belly. Food. 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 Food.
Meanwhile, cat's food? Over in the corner. Cat goes, hey, did you pay the electric bill? It's the third. The electric bill's due today. Don't forget.
This is incredible.
I just killed another spider.
Oh, man. Dog. Human. 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 Human.
Yes.
Human.
Yes, dog.
Time to poop.
Oh, dog.
34 minutes later. Human.
Dog.
Human.
Yes,
human.
Dog.
Human.
Dog. Doggone it.
I don't think I would want this. I really don't think
you
I would want this.
You would, though. In a crazy twist of fate, the fish. The fish is like, hey.
Hey, sup?
Cure for cancer? Hit me up. I got you.
Be like the smooth one. So,
yeah.
Hey, man, just
what's
kick
up,
in this
yo?
Water.
Swimming.
What?
Hey, literally chilling.
Static.
You guys are too much this morning. Have
we
you
really
been
are.
In my house watching my dog?
Yes.
Well, I feel like it.
In fact, we're standing right behind you right now.
Whoa. Hello?
Sorry about
Hello?
It.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
My dog. That is totally how my dog would be if you had a collar that could tell you what she was thinking.
Yep.
She follows you through the house. She wants a bone. You give her a bone. She runs off. She eats the bone. She comes back. She wants another bone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she would eat like an entire huge bag of those bones if you let her every day. She's under your feet. She's behind you. Hey, hey, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I want this. I want this. If it's green, she goes to the bathroom.
Yep.
She's at the counter.
Yep. She's pooping everywhere.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That's not allowed.
That, you know, Don and I wanted a dog because Don used to have this awesome dog named Cowboy. And we want a dog, but we just, the way we both travel so much and we're never at home, we just can't have a dog because it requires too much attention, which is why we got a cat.
Oh, no, I have cats too, but the dog by far is the worst.
The worst.
The best, you mean? You mean the best.
We're going to find out.
Because this dog loves
Your
you.
Your heart is going to be crushed when we find out
never.
That dogs are jerks.
Never.
She totally loves us to death, but she is like constant need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Constant a child.
Dogs yeah. are needy.
They are needy. They are definitely needy.
Thanks
Amazing.
For calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Human.
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 Food.
Human.
Food.
Human.
Food.
I have to be.
Food.
I have to be.
Food.
The door's not cracked enough. The door's not cracked
happening.
Enough.
Oh,
human.
It's happening. I just peed. I peed him. I peed on the floor. Or you wake up and the cat's standing there and goes, hey.
Oh, man.
Dog just peed in the floor.
Right.
I'm going to go over here and rest. I just thought you needed a heads up. Good morning.
Also, litter box, you might want to take care of that.
Litter box,
whenever you get a chance.
You haven't cleaned it. You didn't clean it yesterday.
Come on, bro.
Let's make this a once-a-day thing.
We're trying to make this
the
arrangement.
The cat's like compromising with you. He's like, look, if you will clean the litter box once a day, I will not scratch on the couch anymore. Okay? Let's compromise
once a day,
here.
All right? That's all I'm talking.
And then you
once
look over at the fish, and the fish is like, that's real. The fish is tweeting. Hashtag, that's real.
And the dog's now, like, crouched down. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I peed. I'm sorry.
I peed. And also,
I'm sorry.
I thought the screen for the sliding glass door was open, and it wasn't, but I ran through it anyway. So it's outside. It's raining. It's raining.
I'm sorry.
The rain is
I'm
getting
so
in the pee and putting. It's all over the kitchen. It's everywhere. Oh.
And the cat's just angry. Right. And that's man's best friend. Cool, man. I'm going to go sleep over here on the couch.
Yeah. Ugh. I get a bad rap. Just
when you're done cleaning up all that pee on the floor that the dog did that I didn't do because I go in a box, yeah, call me. All right. I'll see you later. See you later. Static.
Hey, first of all, yeah, dogs are way better than cats. Sorry, Mateo.
That's fine.
That's right.
You're entitled to your opinion.
Steve-O, this is not a Christian book, but it's called The Art of Racing in the Rain. Have you read it?
I have not read it.
Okay, it's a book told by a dog. So, like, the narrator is the dog, and it is incredible. You need to read it. It's not a comic book. I'm sorry. It has more than... Anyway, you'd like it, so try it.
I will have to check it out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Right. Bye.
505-338-3700, the phone number. Dog collar that can actually... I feel like the dog would be spooked every time.
Yeah.
Like, human! Huh? Human! What? Human! Huh? Dogs? Oh, man. I miss my dog so much. I miss him!
You miss him.
I do. Dogs are great. Dogs are great.
You can go see him any day, though.
I can.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nah.
He's busy running free.
He's good. He's doing great.
He's great.
He's out there doing
lots
his
of land,
thing. Doing
running
his
around.
Yeah.
Peeing on things.
Having a blast.
Hey, if anybody's a contractor and they want to come build up my fence for me, we'll make that happen.
Make it happen.
All right. Coming up, some John Tibbs, our boy Ethan Luck. Right now, it's Foster the People. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Right now.
Static.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Marsha.
Brad.
Angelina.
Brad?
Mountain.
Noah.
Ski slope.
Welcome to the show.
Hey. Guys, we're going to talk about that Noah movie.
Yeah, we are.
Everybody's up in arms about it.
Son of God released this last week. And so for those that are posting saying, went saw the number one movie in America this last weekend. Oh, you did? You saw Nonstop with Liam Neeson?
Yeah,
you
Son of God that? Didn't hit number one.
Son of God was not number one at the box office this last week. That's okay. It was number two.
That's fine.
It still did really well.
Calm down.
It just wasn't number one.
Calm down. Just
number
calm down.
Number two's still good.
Calm down.
It's just a silver medal. Down. You know what I'm saying?
Silver medal.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, second place is first loser.
No, I'd say first loser is the guy that didn't do anything.
It seems more and more films are coming out. We know in the works right now, Left Behind is in the works with
our
different Nick Cage.
I cannot wait for that movie.
I can't either.
It is going to be horribly awesome.
It's going to be great. We don't know how horrible it's going to be.
Horribly awesome is how you describe Nick Cage's career. That's every Nick Cage movie. It's horribly awesome.
That's not true.
He's even the good ones.
Fantastic ones.
Con Air.
The Rock.
Horribly awesome.
The Rock was not horribly awesome.
Let's go back and watch it.
Okay.
I bet we won't take anything away from it except for like, whoa, that explosion was massive. We got to get off The Rock.
Touche, my friend.
Family Man. That's probably my favorite Nick Cage movie. But honestly, is it the best movie ever? No. Mm-mm.
No.
It's like a retelling
fan.
Of It's a Wonderful Life.
Kind of.
You know? That's what it's based on.
Except frustratingly, they show you how great the life would have been, and then they're like, skidding!
Rip it away! Well, that's, hey, dude, that's,
I hated
that's
that
by
ending.
Definition what
Ugh.
A glimpse is.
So terrible.
Well, anyway,
terrible.
We want to talk about Noah.
Ah, yes. There's been some controversy of late.
Is it, why is the Downton Abbey theme? Boy?
Because it's controversial.
Oh, I get it.
It's serious.
Oh, it is.
It's British.
Oh.
Well, NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, our dear friend Stever,
yep,
man
and
in the
Nate.
Cave,
and
Nate,
John.
Yeah, a lot of our crew here,
Maria,
went to it. Dr. Jerry Johnson, the president and CEO of NRB, appealed to Paramount, said, yo, bro, check it. Mm-hmm. Son of God just came out. That movie is straight up biblical, okay? Based on the Bible, maybe you've heard of it.
The Bible.
Noah, not so much. And we, as Christians, think it needs to be dubbed not so much because we don't want people confused. Well, his appeal actually worked, and Paramount has decided to add an explanatory message to its biblical epic, Noah.
Hmm.
See, boycotting does work, Baptists.
There you go.
The statement added to the beginning of the film is this. This film is inspired by the story of Noah. While artistic license has been taken, we believe that this film is true to the essence, values, and integrity of a story that is a cornerstone of faith for millions of people worldwide. The biblical story of Noah can be found in the book of Genesis.
That's before the movie. It's going to be on all the posters.
Yeah.
It's going to be on promos.
That's pretty great.
I think that's cool. And they added a similar thing for DreamWorks' Prince of Egypt. If you'll remember, it's
yeah.
an animated
that's
story
true.
Of
I
Moses
do remember that. Yeah.
that did take some liberties.
Paramount has agreed to add the message to all future marketing materials. Let's see, online trailer, the film's official website, 100% of print and radio, as well as some of the film's online broadcast. That's all going to be part of it.
Pretty interesting.
Opening in just a few short weeks. Now, we've been intrigued and interested by the film Noah, which we knew ahead of time, not based on God's word necessarily, right. Based on a comic book, which was loosely based on God's word.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, I've been...
It was like this 50-50, like, well, I still want to see it. And then Christian's going, no!
Hey!
That's... No! No! Because it's not based on the Bible. Well, then Son of God came out, and it's kind of split.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I loved it. And then some are like, it was so choppy, I didn't understand it.
I didn't get it.
They took for granted the fact that you've probably read the Bible. And if you haven't, you were just totally confused.
Mm.
And so we've been talking a little bit about Christian films in general. Noah, not a Christian film, just based upon...
Well, yeah. And the funny thing is, most of these bloggers, as with most things...
Yeah.
That bloggers disagree with, have not seen Noah yet.
Right.
Only a select few, like a small group of people, has actually seen the movie.
And well, in fact, at NRB, they had screening. They had screenings of Noah.
Mm.
Jerry Johnson, the president CEO of National Religious Broadcasters, that was when he decided to make the appeal, caught an early screening of Noah and said, hey, man, we need to make sure people know that this is... loosely based on scripture.
Yeah.
Paramount Pictures came out and they said, hey, we are deeply appreciative of Dr. Johnson's efforts to bring the idea to us. Our goal has been to take every measure we can to ensure moviegoers have the information they need before deciding to buy a ticket to see the movie. We're very proud of Darren Aronofsky's Noah. We think audiences all over the world will enjoy this epic film. So some religious groups have said, you know, I don't want to see it. Some have been boycotting, and then others have said, hey, man, I'm excited.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, as you said, a lot of the people that are boycotting it have not seen it yet.
Which is, ironically, how most things in Christian circles go.
Now, on the flip side, we know of some people who have seen it.
Yeah.
Do you have their...
Yes. Aside from your guy, Rick Warren, who I'm not going to read because I know KNKT listeners might kill me. And then... we have a guy named John Snowden. Let me tell you about him. He served as the biblical consultant on Noah since April 2012. After 6 years of vocational youth ministry in West Los Angeles, John moved with his family to Kathmandu, Nepal, where he is vice president of Cloud Factory, a tech company seeking to connect 1 million people in the developing world to basic computer work while raising them up as leaders to address poverty in their own communities.
Wow.
He is not related to Edward Snowden.
No, it says no relation.
That. It says that. He is not related to Edward.
That's good.
Because somebody's going to be like, oh! Well, he's related to Edward. Whole family's crazy. If you ask me, I ain't going to the movies. I'm going to sit at home on the Facebook. Anyway, he says, he's like, unfortunately, those who have felt compelled to criticize the film in these stories, most of the stories he's seen on the internet, haven't actually seen it. So it's difficult to understand what exactly they're criticizing. I've seen Noah. In fact, I've been working on it for the last 2 years as the filmmaker's biblical advisor.
Yeah.
So they brought in a guy. Think about that. Number one, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You got a Hollywood studio who's in it for the money. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
They want to make money.
Yeah.
They do not care if it is truth, like if it lines up with the source material, this time being the Bible. They just want it to make money. So they bring in a biblical advisor, and he says when the studio first approached him about consulting on the project, he had a lot of mixed emotions, weighing his caution of Hollywood's ability to take liberties with stories and values against his standard for good theology and a healthy presentation of biblical stories, theology, and mission. Paramount was adamant about having a practical, integrated advisor in the process from start to finish, which impressed and surprised him.
Yeah.
So he just goes through. He talks about how he read through 10 drafts of the script.
Wow.
And constantly gave feedback talking about Noah, God, and Jesus, and they actually listened to him. So he was there.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
interesting. And, of course, you know, Rick Warren had seen the film, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is a link from Rick Warren's article.
Okay.
He gives you three perspectives on it. And all of these guys say, hey, don't just sit at home and boycott this thing. Be ready to discuss this. Go see it and then discuss the differences. But this guy says it actually, like, it has a lot more stuff in it aside from all the, you know, like, conspiracy warnings we're getting about people saying, oh, it's all about climate change or, oh, it's population control. That's why God does it. He said he gives us 10 points about why he believes that we as a church can find very valuable reflections on Noah, God, and theology in the film. And he says, this isn't to suggest the movie matches everyone's read of Noah perfectly, but it is a very worthwhile time to spend understanding how a couple of very thoughtful filmmakers interact with Noah.
Yeah.
Because Darren Aronofsky has quite the reputation. He did Black Swan. Mm-hmm. He almost did The Wolverine. He did Pi. His movies are thinking movies, and they have stuff in them that kids should not see.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's probably part of the trepidation when you hear that, oh, Darren Aronofsky's Noah. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Noah. You never know what's going to happen. Well, number one, Noah has a relationship with God. It says in the film, Noah hears from God at times, wants to hear more from God at other times, is directed by God, and acts singularly different than his contemporaries in following God's directives. Now, all of these points have like paragraphs after them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to read the whole thing. Number two, Noah acts faithfully yet isn't perfect. This is an important thing.
Yeah.
Noah is faithful to what God says, but he's not a perfect dude.
Right.
That's humanity.
Right.
That's how we can all connect.
We see that in God's word. We see that with him.
Yeah, we see that outside. Yeah. We see that in between me and you. We see that with everyone around us. That's a big thing, guys. If you want to talk to somebody about the grace of God, then that's your connection point right there. Noah sees and acknowledges his own sin. That's a big thing. We're trying to get rid of sin in our world right now. We're trying to throw a blanket over it. It doesn't exist.
Right.
We're all born screwed up, so it's fine. That's fine, right? There's no such thing as sin. Well, this says Noah sees his own sin as no better or worse than those who will die in the flood. This evokes a great scriptural dilemma, though. God's plan to fill the earth with humanity reflecting his glory has been promised, but our sin has stained the reflection of his glory in all of us. And then he goes on to talk about how 4,000 years later, Jesus did the work of restoration for us.
Yeah. I like this, man. I'm excited that they got someone to come in and actually care about the film, care about God's word.
Yeah.
And so,
from a biblical standpoint,
I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say, hey, everybody needs to go see it.
Well, we haven't seen it yet.
Right, exactly. But we both are definitely planning on seeing this film. I remember when they announced it, Russell Crowe as Noah. It was intriguing enough for me. I'm a huge fan of Russell Crowe. I know, obviously, Gladiator, Man of Steel, Beautiful Mind. That guy's an incredible actor. Mm.
Check this out.
Yeah.
It keeps closer to more of the text than you might have imagined. The film sticks to many key details from the text. The ark was built twice to full cubit scale, though not out of gopher wood. It depicts a global flood. No extra people survived the flood who shouldn't. God speaks to Noah. Noah gets drunk. Tubal-Cain forges iron and bronze. Ham and Noah have a rough father-son relationship. Creation from nothing. Sin. Murder. Methuselah. There's a dove and a rainbow. Two of each animal. Admittedly, seven of each clean animal was a detail they didn't get communicated in the film. An olive branch and lots of water coming up from the ground.
Cool.
The next point is what got to me, because a lot of people are up in arms about Son of God and about this, about artistic license.
Yeah.
And honestly, I confess, that's why I get uncomfortable whenever there's a Jesus movie made.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, you know they're going to take artistic license, because we have the biblical accounts and we have a lot of places that we don't. What happened between when Jesus was born and when he was 12 and then when he was 30?
Right.
What happened?
Right.
We don't know. Well, this says in the Bible, Noah does not utter a single word before the floodwaters recede. I never realized that. Noah doesn't say anything in the Bible. And then that Noah speaks in this movie as well, that his wife and daughter-in-law also speak and have names, are extra biblical points. So if you're not going to see it because you think they've added to the thing, well, yeah.
Right.
But the point is, when you read the account of Noah, or any for that matter, we all do that. We all picture Noah talking to his kids.
Yeah.
In essence, we're doing the same thing.
I'm hoping that it points back to God's word, which is what Rick Warren and other leaders have said. Hey, look, you're right. This isn't 100% accurate. Son of God was not 100% accurate. Passion of the Christ was not 100% accurate.
Right.
However, these can be tools used to point people to God's word. And Paramount stepped up this last week and said, okay, we get that. And so they added a statement to the film saying it's inspired by the story of Noah. If you want to read the biblical story, go check out the book of Genesis, which I thought was great. So
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it was good,
man. So more points. I'll just read quickly through them. Noah focuses on his family. The story depicts and personifies evil humanity in Genesis 6. The film embraces some really good, important theology. And I'll read this one because we probably want to know about that. Many of the rumors swirling about the film are flat out false. Hint, no overpopulation, no global warming. More importantly, missing from the rumors are some really positive values in the film. Throughout, the film explores Noah's understanding of God's justice and mercy, held in appropriate tension with one another. It really wrestles with the question, does humanity deserve to be saved? It may not use those words, but the important question Noah wrestles with deep in his soul is whether God wouldn't be better off just cutting bait, letting Noah and his family die off too, and saving the animals. Of course, Noah isn't God, and God knows exactly what he's doing, both in the text and the film.
Wow.
That's cool. Another one is, he continues, an active God with a plan will often move in power and make miracles happen. Our God makes known the end from the beginning. His purposes will stand, and he will do all that he pleases, including healing the physically broken to bring about his plan. The Imago Dei.
Imago Dei, yeah.
Imago Dei is front and center.
Yeah.
The most foundational core piece of theology that personally moves me forward when I'm struggling is that we are created for a purpose in the image of God. Noah carries it with him and speaks it. So that's pretty cool.
I'm excited, man.
And then he says, Bible stories are back in a big way. A story of this magnitude and renown required an equally A-list pedigree of filmmakers and actors. And there's more movies coming out. We know there's The Exodus, Christian Bale. Tons of biblical epics are coming out. I think, you know, for the past like 10, 15 years, the church has been saying, hey, why aren't there more movies about the Bible?
Right.
And now we're getting them and everybody's like, hey, you didn't do it right.
Right.
Number 10, 20-somethings are disengaged from faith, and this is something that we, like, that you can engage somebody with.
Right. This medium.
Yeah, I think the thing is, you shouldn't expect somebody to go to a movie and get saved. There's a thing in here, or in Rick Warren's article, where it says that 1/10 of the people that went to see The Passion actually said that it led them to a decision about Jesus.
Right.
1/10.
Yeah.
Now, that means we have to take responsibility as a believer, know the material, know what the Bible says about Noah.
So and then you can explain
it. Yeah, talk about, don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
You don't be afraid of this thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what happens with this one. Obviously, Son of God came in at number 2 this last week at the box office behind Liam Neeson's new film. What was it called? In Flight. Top Air.
Oh.
Hot Shots 3.
Nonstop.
That was close. Part Trey.
Almost got it.
Yeah.
I think...
Oh, man.
The last paragraph is really cool. It says, we can have fun, spirited debates of how you'd do it differently if you had $125 million to make your own version of Noah's Ark. But let's focus on the opportunity for now and use it as a springboard for holy conversations.
Yeah.
I think that's part of, that kind of lines up, too, with the mission of the station. You know, use these songs. Let them, think about what they're saying. A lot of the songs on here are super, question songs.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did I get here? You know, what am I doing with my life? This all seems like a waste. Where's the real meaning and all this stuff?
Yeah.
And that's because people connect with those things because that's like the human condition.
Yeah.
And as a believer, as a Christian, you have an answer in Christ, the answer.
And we believe that art, ultimately points back to that.
Yeah.
That Imago Dei, we are created in the image of God. And so, yeah.
So there you go. That's how you use this station.
Yeah.
I think it's a great thing. And it's a great way to kind of get out of that Christian bubble we've been stuck in the past like 20 or 30 years.
Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We out.
We
want to know, are you planning on seeing Noah? Is it something that you care about? Does it make a difference that Paramount is putting a disclaimer at the beginning saying that they're going to put something in there that says you should go check out the book of Genesis? We want to know your thoughts.
Yeah.
We'll carry this into tomorrow, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more tomorrow.
New Music Tuesday tomorrow with Hollywood from Family Force 5.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
The Hollywood Hits.
Hollywood Hits. He's got some recommendations for us. And we've got some songs for him to review and give us his honest opinion of.
I'm excited. So we will be doing that.
Yeah, if you're a Family Force 5 fan, spread the word. We got the newest member, the drummer.
Yeah.
Mr. Hollywood himself.
Hanging out with us tomorrow. If you missed any part of the morning show, mystaticradio.com/mornings. You can download the podcast there. Middays with Mitch up next.
That's right.
I know she's got a lot to talk about. I was looking at her notes, trying not to steal stuff.
Oh, I stole so much. Hashtag milk life, folks.
Hashtag milk life. That is it for us. We will see you guys again mañana for New Music Tuesday.
Woo!
Enjoy the rest of your Monday. It's Team Awesome Morning Party saying adios.
Goodbye.
Peace out.
I'm last.
Hasta la
vista.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Okay. Static.
It's okay.